2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
What do they mean by opposing?
That's what you do every day. When you pay attention to your mind and your emotions, you're opposing yourself, your true self.
Well, I do that. That's right.
Of course, nobody else does it, but since you brought it up. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now that's kind of a dangerous scripture. That they may recover themselves is one word. Anaepho. And it literally means to return to being sober. The human race is drunk on the wine of Ephraim. In Isaiah 28, if you're interested, study Isaiah 28. It discusses what the wine of Ephraim is, and it's self-seeking. You are drunk on the wine of acknowledging yourself, of considering yourself, of having sweet thoughts in yourself, of having great ideas and plans in yourself. So you have to wake up. The Bible calls that being asleep. Chasing shadows and vanities. So, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The absolute instant that self-protection, self-seeking, self-anything, any awareness of self, then you have entered into opposing yourself and you are taken captive at will. Now, in the world, everybody's drunk on the wine of Ephraim, and if everybody's drunk, then you don't even notice it. Let's go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand the crown of pride. The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under foot or under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. Now, everything about the human race since the fall has been being drunk on the wine of Ephraim, drunk on the wine of self-seeking, of self-concern in any way. The predicate for Christianity is your acknowledgement of your death. Therefore, you can no longer pay the slightest bit of attention to what you feel, what you think. See this? You see the totality of this?
comparing drunk to sober. Sober is what you said there.
Right, that's what it means. That they may recover themselves means to return to soberness from a state of drunkenness or delirium. The moment, I've seen it over and over and over and over for 37, almost 38 years now. Can you understand it? Can you feel it? Can it become meat to you? Why do you get drunk in the first place? You get drunk with drugs or alcohol because you're trying to escape the emptiness of your own soul. So everyone from the beginning of from the fall onward have been getting drunk on the wine of self-seeking. Awake, you remember what we read on Rosh Hashanah to prepare you for the days of awe. It's awake, awake, you who have fallen asleep. Are drunk in life and chasing the vain shadows and empty promises of your own mind.
Well, it seems for man that Jesus isn't enough. It's as if we...
Oh, I know. People, there may be some in here, who knows, they think that they're so friggin' special that the sacrifice of the Son of God wasn't enough for them.
And there's something about obedience. I think by nature, a lot of us like to be leaders. We don't like to be followers. And being a follower of the Word is not being a leader. I'm sounding like I'm babbling. But
you're babbling.
But yeah, it's stubbornness. It's disobedience.
Right. Anything other than abandonment of self, total disowning of self, is rebellion, and therefore it is as a sin of witchcraft. It's witchcraft because you start to create in your mind solutions or any kind. You do whatever your thing is in your mind.
You know, that's been my experience. And, you know, last night, couldn't sleep. I was in a lot of pain, and I was tossing and turning. And I just said, you know, why am I paying attention and listening to my mind? And it's true. I.
You do.
I mean, I do it.
The question is, do you not know better, or do you not believe that Christ is in you?
I think that I don't believe that Christ is in you. I think that's...
Right. That's because he hasn't met... Messiah, for you, hasn't met your idea of what Messiah should do.
What I should be.
Right. So you should be dead.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens is his life by disowning yourself. And you find peace and joy and fellowship and everything that your heart desires.
And that's the part that I haven't gotten and I don't understand.
Okay. Well, all I can tell you is this is my own crap. If I pay attention to my mind, I despise what I do and I hate my job. And I despise who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in my wildest imaginations, the idea that I would live like we live is the worst possible thing that my mind could ever conceive of. But yet I know a mystery. I know a secret. I know that I owe my mind or my opinions or my thoughts or my emotions absolutely nothing. And I know more than that. I know that this place and what I do fulfills every single desire of my heart.
And that's exactly what I experienced last night in you and said that I'm in the best possible place I could ever be at.
Amen. You're at the top of the pyramid.
I live very comfortably. I have friends. And, you know, I don't need anything else.
Amen.
My mind tells me that I do, but really, honestly, the truth is I don't need what my mind thinks.
Amen. I promise you one. I promise you, every one of you, one thing. That neither your mind nor your emotions have ever been your friend. Your mind and your emotions have had but one purpose, and that's to keep you alone and separate. So, back to this. You got everybody understand the wine of Ephraim. Back to this. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
That's what he just talked about.
Amen. So let last night be the beginning of beginnings. Let last night be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, because that's the revelation of Christ. There is no past, there is no future. There's only Christ in you now, on the mercy seat, the hope of glory.
You know, my question to you now is, I want to do that. How do I do it?
You repent the moment you ever, your mind ever tells you something. You repent the moment you pay any attention to your feelings. Again, the mystery of all this is to disown yourself. Believe it or not, yourself has always been this. You've always been a vessel for deity. In all these years, you've been a vessel for the God of this world. Now it's time for you to be a vessel of the God of eternity.
What? Instead of all the vows you make to yourself, you need to disavow.
Disown yourself.
I just think when you said now is the time. And the now never changes, and that was where he ended up, was in the moment. Truth, and that's your cornerstone. That's you remember that.
I feel like if I disown myself, then
you
will not be.
You won't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. What a glorious thing. Now it's Christ alone that's chosen you as a vessel. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Left or right?
Left just a couple pages. 3 or 4 pages maybe.
Thessalonians chapter what?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, because we have entered, we've been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years. You've never known the day. Now, the day has dawned and the day star arisen in your heart. Now walk as in the day, not as in the night. Now watch. Let us therefore, and you are children of the light and of the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, one metaphor is being asleep. The other metaphor for life in general is being drunk. Again, why did God allow, especially in this age, so much alcohol and drug abuse? The reason is so we each could see clearly how we are addicted to ourselves. And I would only ask you, how's that worked out for you?
It had.
So now it's time. Okay, one more. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Back to the left some more. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Why would we be ashamed if we don't have the knowledge of God?
Because you're an idiot. You should be ashamed of your stupidity. You're ashamed that you've seen so much, gone through so much, and still retain the need to get drunk on the wine of Ephraim.
Well, the knowledge of God is life.
All right. Back to 2 Thessalonians. There's a whole bunch of scriptures about waking up and stop being drunk. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, back where we were. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, do you understand? The minute you return to giving breath to your mind and your emotions, then the devil can take you captive at his will. Because you've denied the grace of God and returned to the beggarly, weak elements of how the world works. It doesn't matter what it's for. This is a big thing. It doesn't get any bigger. This all began back at Genesis 3. Let's go back there. Verse 7. Shut up, both of you. Okay, if it's after they'd eaten the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now we just ate the tree of evil, the fruit of evil. We ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So once you try to think you're doing something good, then you're automatically, boom, I find in the law when I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. That's why the idea, I mean, you can never believe you're doing anything good. Because if you, the moment you do, then you're caught in the snare again.
The theology of glory versus the cross.
Amen. All right. So now, they just, and they heard, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And you haven't stopped hiding since then. You hide in the lies of the mountains and trees of your own mind. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And Adam, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? And that's the same thing that this evil one is telling you. Naked, you need something. Naked, you need to be different than you are. Naked, your circumstances need to change. Naked, you shouldn't be who you are. You should be somebody else. Who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. On thy belly thou shalt go. But it's a better translation. By thy belly shalt thou be led. By thy appetites shalt thou be led. And thou shalt eat, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Now, unless you believe in talking snakes, that snake was a metaphor for the mind of Adam and Eve. And yeah, because of the curse,
I didn't know that.
Because of the curse, you have eaten dust all the days of your life. It does. You might want expensive dust, but it's still dust. You might want diamonds and gold. You might want riches and glory, but it's all dust. And so you've been eating dust all the days of your life. Every idea, every plan, it's a food to give you sustenance and satisfaction. Instead of eating the flesh of the Son and drinking His blood, you're trying to get satisfaction from dust. Amen? Can you see that's what you've done your entire life? By thy belly you were led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise or overcome thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he's talking to the snake. Remember, Jacob didn't ever used his look in Jacob. Jacob never used his own name until he was always son of. I'm son of. Until he wrestled with the angel. And the angel would not let him go until he told the angel his name. And finally he said, My name is Jacob. Jacob means the way of the snake. Until then, once he confessed that he was the way of the snake, he was the instead of Christ, he was the Antichrist, and once that confession was made, and the angel said to him, Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, or the way of the snake, but thou shalt be called Israel, she who sees God. And you can't see God and live. Now that hasn't changed. That's the purpose of life. Now Satan has been defeated, but his minions are our minds. So let's look and see what Paul said about this. Go to Philippians 3. General Electric Power Company. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's not his. Don't do that. He's got his own Bible. You're trying to show him the page number. Just trying to help.
That won't have no
trying to be good.
1, 2, 3, 4. Philippians. All right, just listen, Ronnie, just listen. You can go there later. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things.
We're enemies because we I'm the enemy to God because I pay attention to my mind.
Go to Romans 8. Remember the word that's used in Genesis 3, that he will put enmity between thee. Okay, and God. There's enmity.
Right.
Romans 8. It means one of you has to die. You're such a total enemy. There can never be peace. Okay. Verse 5, Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind or give importance to the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnal means giving breath to your senses, give your importance to what you see, feel, hear, touch, or smell. That's carnal.
Feelings.
Everything. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, and every man's mind is carnal. The carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It's not possible. The only thing that you can do is let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be also in you. That mind of Christ was total emptiness. He emptied his mind completely so that he walked on a second-by-second basis in dependence on the Father. Now that potential is within you. The place that God changed Jacob's name was called Peniel. Peniel means the face of God. In the very center of your brain, you have what used to be called a vestigial organ that was no longer useful. It's called the pineal body, and it means the face of God. It's in the exact center of your brain. It's shaped like a cone. And I believe with everything in me that that pineal body is the place where this Holy Spirit of God moves you, and it's the place where birds and animals, all the seat of instinct. And it's a place where you're guided if you stop depending on your stupid mind and emotions. And you live in that total freedom, the freedom of a bird flying. No more awareness of self, light as a feather. And that's your heritage. And to dismiss that heritage makes you an abject fool because you're selling out for a momentary feeling or getting something by your mind. The moment you do that, well, if I do this, that will happen, then you've put on the Babylonian garment. And you're worshiping Babylon. Anybody have any response to any of this?
My response to this would be,
amen. The promises of God, all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Now live it. What?
Earlier, I was just amusing myself. I was thinking of a person.
Spiritual masturbation.
I guess so, but now I'm letting it out, so to speak. maybe I shouldn't even tell it.
Oh, go ahead.
So I was imagining coming to morning Bible study, taking notes. You know, morning Bible study, so and so a day, morning Bible study, what this means to me. Just keep on doing that. You would recognize that.
Can you imagine, can you just breathe in for a moment the freedom that your only sustenance and satisfaction comes from the flesh of the Son, your only worth comes from His blood? Every time you take a liquid into your body, consider that my worth, and every time I take a breath, I'm breathing in the Holy Spirit. Every time I exhale, I'm breathing out me. So repentance is a way of life. It's not a single act. It's a way of being. A total disowning of self. And it's total freedom. That's what you've always wanted. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.